Tonight, stay standing, if you will. Now grab your Bibles, book of Romans, Romans chapter number 6 this evening. Romans chapter number 6. We'll begin reading responsively in verse number 14. You'll join me on verse 15 out loud, and then we'll alternate like that down through the end of the chapter, verse number 23. Romans chapter number 6 this evening. I'll begin reading in verse number 14. We'll read down verse number 23. Bible says in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We'll pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we do thank you for salvation. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, the life you've called us to live. To those that don't understand the Christian life, Lord, may this evening be an eye-opening message. Lord, may we not just be appreciative of our salvation, but Lord, may we learn to enjoy the Christian life that you've made available to us. May we be willing and obedient, not just to listen tonight, but to live the message that is preached. We'll ask that you'd fill our pastor now with your Holy Spirit's power. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open to Romans 6:23. We're going to use the scriptures tonight, but I want to lay a foundation for you. I have been working a long time. I'm 55 years old, but I grew up in a home where those of you that know my dad, he's in Florida right now, at 84, he still works harder than most people half his age. You didn't grow up in our house and do nothing. It's just the way it was. And say, why? Because dad said, I'm not going to feed a lazy person, get up and do something. And so we did. As a boy, my dad said, "You want some money? Yep, go earn it." So began to shovel snow. I grew up in Ohio, northeastern Ohio, so we had a lot of snow. I would shovel driveways. A lot of times I'd get $5, $6 a driveway. And back in those days, that was good money. I would get up 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, go shovel 3, 4, 5 driveways, come home, eat, change, go to school, come home and shovel some more until I couldn't hardly stand up. In the summertime, I would mow grass. Most of the time, I mowed anywhere from 10 to 20 yards every week, sometimes even more than that. And if I got $5 a yard, I thought I was hot snot on a silver platter, let me tell you. But by the time I was 16, I paid for my first car in cash. Dickie, I had a 1966 Mercury Comet with a 289 in it. That was a sweet car. But they didn't tell me it had a unibody and the unibody rusted out. Oh, it was bad. But it did run fast for a while till it fell apart. I eventually, when I was old enough to get my driver's license, I started working for a little Greek fellow who had a restaurant. I delivered pizzas and worked in the restaurant. Then he would start delivering and I'd run the restaurant while he was out making deliveries. Just as a teenager. By the time I was 17, I had switched over to one of the local steak restaurants. It was more of a medium high end, and I began working as a dish person and then started bussing tables and dishing both. Then they needed help on the grill line. I said, look, I can do that. I jumped in on the grill line, and by the time I was 18 years old, I was running the grill with eight cooks in a kitchen, symmetrical kitchen, had two broilers, everything all the way down, and I would run the whole thing by the time I was graduating from high school. Then I went to college. I worked at a bus company for a while, and then I worked telemarketing for a little while. That did not go so well. Oh, I was one of those people that you hang up on all the time, and I hated the job, but it was a job. Amen. Then I got to work in a machine shop for the last several years of college and putting my wife through her last year before we went into the ministry. And now for 33 and a half years, we've been in the ministry full time. I understand a lot about work, and I've had a lot of variety of jobs. There's one thing about all these jobs. There were wages attached. Some of these jobs, I let the people decide what they paid me. My dad told me, when you're shoveling a driveway or mowing the grass, don't charge, just let them pay you what they think you're worth. He said, if I pay you what I think you're worth, you're not getting anything. But, and that's just the way it was. But I never charged anybody when I did those jobs. But it's amazing how the Lord brought in what I needed. But when I started working, those of you that are old enough to remember this, I remember when minimum wage was $2.85. I started working for $2.85 an hour. And I thought that they had just increased it. It had gone from $2.15 to $2.85. I mean, it was a big jump. But you could also get gas for under 70 cents a gallon, too. You can't get it for 70 cents a cup anymore. But often, you know, when you go somewhere, they decide what your wages will be. Some had salaries, some were hourly. Wages, that's a payment for work, for works. Anyone who has ever worked has been paid for your time. That's called receiving your wages. It's interesting. We won't turn there, but in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, you have the story of a family in Egypt who they have a child, but the Jews are growing in number in Egypt to the point where the Pharaoh's worried that the scales are going to tip and the Jews are going to take over Egypt. So he has every male child killed at birth. One family disobeyed that order, and they kept their child for 3 months. Then she put that baby in a basket and floated him down the Nile River. And Pharaoh's daughter happened to see that baby in the basket. That little boy's sister, following that basket, ran up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, would you like me to go get a Hebrew lady to nurse that child for you? And we know him as Moses. The interesting part was she went back and got her mama, which was Moses' mama, to nursing. The Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter said, I'll pay thee wages. She got paid to be a mama. You have to understand, it's a very, very transparent truth throughout Scripture. Now, here's the truth I want you to get tonight, and I'm going to hurry. The world and the devil deals in wages. God deals in gifts and rewards. When you work for God, you don't get wages, you get rewards and gifts. When you work for the devil in the world, there's wages to pay. There's wages. There is a vast difference between wages and a gift. There's a vast difference between wages and a reward. A wage is something that I've earned because of what I've done. A gift or reward is given to me. It's not earned in any way. Like I said this morning, when you all kind of blindsided me, and that's pretty hard to do. but you blindsided me with the running boards for my truck. It's not a matter of earning those. Those were given by people who love me. It's not something that was attached to the wages. A wage is something I work for. A gift or reward is given by someone else. Now, let's look at this thought of wages versus gifts or rewards. First of all, and this is my favorite part, salvation is a gift. Look at Romans 6:23 again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the wages of sin is death. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. You're looking at a sinner. Shut up. I'm looking at more than just one, trust me. And some of them are pretty big ones. Right, Scott? But anyway, we're all sinners. My wife's brother-in-law, 56 years old, just found out a couple few weeks ago that he's got pancreatic cancer. It's in his liver, it's in his lungs, elsewhere throughout his whole body. He's had one round of chemo and probably will be the last round, and he'll have less than a month to live. It's kind of tragic. But at the same time, when is death okay? 2 years ago this last week, I buried my mama. Had her casket right there. She was 78. Had preached a funeral 3 days before that, and preached one the next day because Mrs. Diener's husband died same day my mama died. Had three funerals in 5 days. Yeah, that was a tough time. 3 months before then, my son-in-law's mama at 52 years old died. Went down to Georgia and took care of his mama's funeral. Now, wait a minute. At what point in time is death okay? We're all going to face it. I want you to notice something, though. Sin has a wage called death. And it's a proof that we're all sinners because we're all going to die. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. I'm about to shout. Salvation, though, is a gift. It's a reward. It's not earned. That means this. You can't get to heaven by what you do. You can't merit your own way to heaven. You can't buy your own way there. You can't earn your own way there. Then how do we get it? Let me show you. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Oh, look at that word. Grace given unto me. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Can I tell you something? You don't even have enough faith to get to heaven. God had to give you faith so that you could get saved. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are all about. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. And that what? That is a pronoun renaming the previous noun. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, that means this. I don't, people say, well, put your faith in God. No, you don't have any faith. God even gave you the faith necessary to get saved. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I've been preaching this for 42 years. I've been preaching all over this country. I've preached in 34 states. I've flown all over this country. I've preached in Mexico, been in Canada and preached. I've been all over the place. I was flying from Chicago to Kansas City. I've told this story before. A little girl, this a packed flight. I'm on the aisle. There's one empty seat and they're holding the plane. They said, we have one more passenger and it's a full flight. And I thought, well, here they come. I know where they're going to sit. Here comes this little girl from India with a red dot stuck on her forehead. I'd been praying for 2 weeks. God's put somebody next to me that I could talk to about the gospel. And here comes this little dot head coming because the guy sitting up against the window was already slobbering on the window like this. Well, he ain't going to wake up. I helped her get in, sit down. I popped my Bible open. I was working on sermons. I was going to go preach. We pushed back, and she said, sir, Are you a Christian? I said, I sure am. Are you? Oh, no, I'm Hindu. I'm from India. I said, well, that's all right. I kept working. She said, what you working on? I said, well, I'm going to Kansas City. I'm going to be preaching. She said, what you going to preach? Now, when they wrap you in a hot dog at 30,000 feet and you're locked and can't get out, you talk about she ain't got nowhere to go. She can't even change seats. You don't do that to a Baptist preacher now. I folded up what I was working on and I began to show her what the scripture said about going to heaven. Big old tears started running down her face. She said, sir, she said, I wasn't even supposed to be on this flight today. She said, I found out at 10 o'clock last night my colleague couldn't go. They called me and said, get on this flight. It was an early flight. She said, I grew up in India, very poor village, mud huts. She said, every day I would walk out to the edge of our village and look out across the valley and say, there's got to be something more out there. She said, is this what I've been asking for my whole life? I said, oh, yes, it is. I got to buy myself a pizza. I said, yes, it is. At 32,000 feet, that little tiny Indian lady bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. For the next hour, I began to show her scriptures and she began to rejoice. At that time, Kansas City Airport they had two baggage doojiggers, you know, where the bags would come out. It was not a very big airport. The preacher had met me there. I grabbed my stuff. I started to walk away and probably got about the length of this auditorium away. And I heard this, hey, Reverend, hey, Reverend. I turned around. There's that little Indian gal jumping up and down. She said, if I don't see you again here, I'll see you up there someday. She didn't have faith of her own, but she had faith.
Yes, sir.
And that faith led her to truth, to where she needed to be. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I've got to hurry because I'm going to get you out early. I promise. No, I'll just crash land the plane. Galatians, yeah. It was Christmas. That was my Christmas gift to you. Yeah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now notice this, we're not justified, we're not saved by the law. By the way, what the people call the law is not the Ten Commandments. Do you know that the Ten Commandments had absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven? The Ten Commandments were the civil law for the Jews in the wilderness. That's why it was posted in our courthouses and in our government centers as a matter of justice and civil law. It never had anything to do with going to heaven. The Ten Commandments have zero to do with going to heaven. You say, well, I've kept all the Ten Commandments. Good, that makes you a good citizen. Doesn't make you a Christian. You can be born in a garage, but you're not a car. Just because you do something doesn't mean that that's what you are. Now watch this, look at verse 17. But while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you can get to heaven by what you do, why did Jesus have to come and die at Calvary for us?
Right.
If you can get saved by getting baptized, why did Jesus have to come to Calvary?
Amen.
If you get saved by your good works, and hopefully your good outweighs the bad, then why did Jesus have to be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die at Calvary, and resurrect 3 days and three nights later? His death was in vain if you can get it on your own. It is not by what we do, it's by what he did for us. I say this all the time, there's only two types of religion in this world. Either you do it and God accepts it, or God did it and we have to accept it. It's that simple. I don't care what name you put on it. So the wages of sin bring death. By the way, that's not just your body dying. Revelation chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. Talks about that, well, turn there. Revelation chapter 20. We got time. It's only 6:32. Hang on. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So God talks about two deaths. For the wages of sin is death. One is the body. But the other is your spirit and your soul. It has to go forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And without Christ, we are destined to hell. You say, well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. You have to understand something. Hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. Hell was created before man was created. Isaiah 14. That's when Lucifer had led rebellion and anarchy against God. God kicked him and the angels that followed him into a place and made a super torture chamber called hell. Watch this. Who was it then that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? The serpent, the devil. When man chose to sin, he chose the same sin that Satan had committed. And God's justice requires the same punishment for sin. See, justice is blind. Justice doesn't care what your last name is. Justice is for everybody, whether you're Nancy Pelosi or Joe Blow on the streets. Not Joe Blow in the White House. Or Joe Blowing the White House, or whatever it is. Can I tell you something? Death and hell. That means this. That's why God said, I love man so much that I'll make salvation available to him. That's why there was shedding of the blood. That's why God took their aprons of leaves off and he gave them coats of skins. There was a shedding of blood to cover them. Man covers with temporary. Did you know leaves are only going to last so long? Mm-hmm. Don't turn around like one of them hospital gowns, you know. Give me two of them. One for, Not good thing. Wait a minute. We have to understand that God doesn't send anybody to hell. We chose it by our sin. But God loved man so much, he made salvation available for us. But man still wants to be, like Satan said, and be his own God. And that's what religion is about. Religion is man telling God, look how good I am, accept me. I've done this, I've done beads, I've prayed to Mary, I've prayed to saints, I've prayed to angels, I've lived a good life, I tried not to do this, I did all, wait a minute, it's not what you did, it's not by works of our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you could get there on your own, why did he have to come? It's that simple. Say, well, preacher, you just make it too simple. Man's the one making it hard because he wants to be his own God. The devil has influenced all men and religion into thinking that salvation is granted by a wage. God wants everybody to know it is a gift. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through the church, not through the preacher, not through the baptistry, not through anything that you can do. It's through Jesus Christ and what he did for you. So, first of all, salvation is a gift, not a wage. Secondly, wages change. Gifts and rewards don't.
That's right.
Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse number 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I love that verse. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The word repentance, or the word repent, is a military term. I've said this before. The word repent literally means to turn around and go the other direction.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are people that say, in order to get saved, you have to repent from your sin. That's not a true statement. Yes, you must repent. But you repent from your own righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You go from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That in and of itself is repentance.
Yes,
you don't turn from your sin. Guess what? You can get saved and you're still a sinner. I got saved 51 years ago. Can I tell you something? I'm still a sinner. No comments. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you stop sinning. But God said the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When I was 13 years old, I took a trip to Mexico with my church youth department. We were going there to do some missions work. I looked at it as a 2-week vacation to get away from mom and dad and go to a foreign country. Man, this is going to be great. I got on that old rickety bus. They didn't tell me they were going to preach every day a bunch of times. Brother Carlos Demers, crazy old Baptist preacher, old shouting Baptist. 2 o'clock in the morning, he's driving the bus. Well, glory! I feel a preaching spell coming on. Everybody wake up. He flipped the lights on. He just wanted to get up and preach. Wait a minute. I sat through a Spanish church service in Guatemoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. Little old building about half the size of this auditorium. There must have been 120 people crammed in there. I have no idea what the preacher said. I didn't know. I knew 2 words in Spanish. Baño, which meant bathroom. Comida, which meant food. That's all I need to know. Food and where to get rid of it. That's all I needed to know. But I watched people get up and get saved. I watched the power of God fall, and God had been dealing with me for many, many months. I went to an altar and started crying and praying. Didn't even know what was going on. I didn't understand one word the preacher said. Now, it wasn't speaking in tongues. None of that kind of crazy nonsense. My youth pastor said, Craig, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. I just feel like I'm dying inside. He said, well, you pray and then I'll pray. So I did. He did. He said, so what's God telling you? I said, I don't know. He said, well, pray again. So I did. He said, so what's God telling you? I said, I don't know. If I knew, I would tell you. He said, well, I can tell you. God's calling you to preach. I said, is that what this is? He said, yeah. I said, then I said, either I do it or God's going to kill me. And I yielded that night and surrendered to preach. It was July 31st, 1980. He said, good, you're preaching on the bus tomorrow. You don't understand this. I was a shy, introverted kid. I would fail every oral book report there was because I wouldn't get up in front of class and do it. I hated talking in front of people. I know you don't believe it, but that's what God can do. You know, God's never changed his mind on what he wanted me to do. I've chosen to do it, but even if I didn't, God didn't change his mind, I would have. There's a lot of young men in our youth department that had surrendered to preach. None of them are doing it today. None. But the call of God was real in their life. Just because they're not doing it doesn't mean God did not want them to do it. Everybody understand that? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Just like once you get saved, you can't give it back. You can't exchange it. You can't go to the counter the next day and say, well, I really didn't want it. Can I get it in a different size? Can I get it in a different color? No. Everything that God gives is eternal. In Genesis chapter 31, we won't take time to turn there. The story of Jacob. Remember, he was working for a wife, and then his future father-in-law tricked him, worked 7 years, and he got her sister. Man, can you imagine how that bad that would be? I had to punch my father-in-law out for that one. But then he worked another 7 years to get the one he wanted. She must have been some woman to work 14 years for and wait for. Let me tell you, in that story, the Bible says that Jacob looks at his father-in-law and says, thou hast changed my wages 10 times in these 20 years. wages change. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 14. Luke 3, 14. I'm going to read two verses to you, and then I'm going to make a couple quick statements, and then we're going to jump to the next point and be done. Luke 3, 14. If I get on the right page, it'll help. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with thy wages." May I help you? America is selfish and greedy. It amazes me how unsatisfied with people's wages they are. There was a day when you were excited about the job you had. Now you want to complain that you didn't get the raise you wanted? Everybody doing all right? When I first started working, my dad went to the pizza restaurant and he said, "Look, my son agreed to this." And he said, "If my son doesn't work, fire him. If he complains about the money he makes, fire him." I said, "Dad, shut up. That's my boss. Every boss I worked for, he did that with." You say, "Why?" My dad said, "Look, you agreed to it. If you complain about it, go find another job. Don't complain to the boss." He said, "If you work hard enough, he'll reward it." Then many a day I thought, I could go get a job somewhere else. And sometimes I did because I had to. But I never complained to my boss because I was the one that agreed to it. Or in the words of my father, I don't think you ought to use these words necessarily. He'd say, "You're the dummy that agreed to it. Don't get mad at him. You're the dummy that said yes." I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. John 4:36, you don't need to turn there. The Bible says this. "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, both he that soweth and he that reapeth, that he that soweth and reapeth may rejoice together." Can I tell you something? I do a lot of work that you don't see here on earth, but someday we're going to get to reap the rewards. I have no idea some of the things that God's done in our ministry through the years. I have no idea how God's touched people through the ministry of this church, but I can tell you this, someday we'll receive the reward. It's not a wage. When you live by the devil or the world's ways, there will be wages. When you act like the world at home, your kids are going to pay the price. God's people using the world or fleshly recipes will get the same results as the world. Did you know, thank God we started our Christian school, and ours has nothing to do with the public school system? Thank God. Our kids are going to learn how to read. They're going to know that 2 + 2 = 4, not 5. We're not asking them how they feel. It's, don't care how you feel, get your work done. We love you, but this is how you learn character. You say, why? Because I don't want to repeat what the world's giving us. We're going to teach them history, not rewritten history. Yeah, cursive writing, yeah. Can I tell you something? I don't want to copy what the world has and call it a Christian school. No, I want to teach them truth. You see, when you use the world's recipes, you're going to get the world's results. It's amazing how you can act like God wants you to act at church, but how do you act at home? Okay, moving on. That one hit a little hard. God's gifts and rewards are eternal and do not change. Man changes wages. Let me finish very quickly here. Number three. Wages are earned. Gifts and rewards are given. Wages are earned, gifts and rewards are given. Did you know you can receive a wage from a total stranger? Most of you have never met the person that actually runs the company that you've worked for at times. Most of you. You say, "Well, I did. I'm the business owner." That's a little different. Got a few of you in here. But some of you, through your careers, have worked for people. You said, "Well, I had a boss." Yeah, but that wasn't the owner of the company, usually. I love this statement. Gifts and rewards are given by people who love, who care. very rarely do people just give things to somebody they don't know. Now, there are people that do that, especially this time of year, because they're good people. As a matter of fact, Dickie, a couple years ago, helped a bus family of ours. They filled a vehicle full of gifts and things for a family that got burned out and stuff, and just an amazing story. But that's unusual. That's not the norm. Rewards are given freely. Did you know you can't demand a gift? You can't demand a reward. God, you better give me this or I'm going to stomp my foot. Okay, you stomped your foot. So what? I wonder how many kids did not get what they wanted for Christmas today. Well, first of all, no little kids here. Good. I didn't let my kids write out Christmas lists. I didn't want them living by, well, if I give a list, maybe I can get everything I want. That's trouble. We want too much.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm on an island all by myself right now, but it's all right. Gifts and rewards are given by somebody giving you what you need, not necessarily what you want.
That's right. Amen.
Turn to Matthew 7. We'll only use one of these verses for sake of time. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I love my children. I love all my kids. Even my son-in-law and daughter-in-law. They're my kids. I love them with all my heart. They're as much my children as my biological ones. Now listen to me. I love watching them get things. And get things from God. It hurts me when they face attack. It does. These kids sitting here tonight, they've been through a lot in the last 2 years. Last several years. Between those two couples, there's five grandchildren of ours in heaven. Michael's mama passing away. My mom passing. What we've just gone through in the last week or so with the State Department and stuff. And I could go on and on. Now, wait a minute. I love watching them. If you were at my house the last couple days, it's been loud. Laughing, carrying on, playing games, through the tears. Yeah. Usually because somebody didn't win. Not me. I'm not the competitive one. She is. Y'all think I'm the competitive one. Look out. Mama's playing. Wait a minute. I'm not kidding either. Wait a minute. I love giving things to my kids. But I love it when they call and say, Dad, look what God did. Dad, look what God's done. I'd rather them learn how to get things from God than just mom and dad. I love to give them good things. But how much more does God want to give them? Do I give them everything they want? No, they're not getting my truck. Michael. Now, wait a minute. I love to give them good things. But how much more does God want to give? But if they call and say, Dad, would you give me this? Be careful. It doesn't always work that way. God does not ask us what we want. He decides and he gives us what he thinks is best.
Sure.
2 weeks ago, I was in the woods praying. I knew we had to leave and go to Texas. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law facing the wall. My brother-in-law is 56 years old. My sister-in-law is 49, I think. They're raising two grandchildren as their own and have adopted them. They have 2 6-year-olds. And Paul's dying. My wife and I were going to go in just a couple days, and I was walking through the woods, and I said, God, I feel so helpless because no matter what I say, I can't help, I can't fix this. I said, I just need you to give me the wisdom to say the things I need to say. And I don't even know what to say. Flew all the way to Dallas, drove 2 hours to get to where they are in Palestine. Got out of the vehicle. My nephew was driving us. Her sister walks out the door and walks up to my wife and just hugs on her, and they began to cry. Paul walks out on the porch and saw me. I said, I'll be right there. He said, no, I can't. I said, just stay right there. I could already see from the car to where he was at, his eyes are already starting to inset a little bit. I walked up, and there's that tough Marine. Lost about 40 pounds in 3 weeks. He put his head on my shoulder and his arms around me, began to weep. And he said, I love you. Thanks for coming. What do you say? We sat down and I looked at him and I said, I need to apologize because nothing I'm going to say is going to fix anything. And both of them in unison said, it's not what you say, it's the fact that you're here. We know it can't be fixed. We're just glad you're here. Now, wait a minute. We've had some long heart-to-hearts with him. He had one pressure and asked me to help him, and I'm helping in that area. Took a lot of pressure off, and God's blessing that, helping them. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I couldn't even begin to tell you. Our obedience is rewarded by God. Sin has wages. It's what we earn. There's a vast difference between gifts and wages. There's a vast difference between reward and the wages of our sin. You can't get to heaven on your own. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be close enough to God where he could look down and say, you need that right now. Let me give this to you. I love being close to God and him say, it's okay. I got it. If you ever go to a meal with my dad, it's almost impossible to pay. It's gotten to the point now where I call the restaurant in advance and give my credit card beforehand, tell him I'm coming, and then he gets mad at me. Say why? Because I'm tired of him paying for everything. But he loves to do it. He and I almost got in a fight one day over it. He said, son, you got a family. I'm old. I'm retired. I like doing this. I said, well, I like taking care of you. Quit robbing me of the blessing. Now, wait a minute. Do you and God get into a match of who can give who the most? Or is it just always gimme, 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 welfare? There's a big difference between a wage and a gift. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, do you know for sure you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you decided that you would let His way be the right way? First of all, you realize you're a sinner. Because we're all sinners, we all deserve a thing called death and hell. But Jesus came and paid that sin debt for us. And all you have to do is trust him to take you to heaven. You'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. You'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that, but someday I'd like to know that. I won't embarrass you. Won't call you out. Won't call your name. I promise. That you'd like me to pray for you. Say, preacher, I don't know that, but someday I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon tonight, something I needed. Would you raise your hand?